Father, again, as we come to your word, we pray that by your Spirit, you might teach us about yourself, that you might teach us about ourselves, that you might encourage us to have a deeper, more meaningful and personal trust in Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. In his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated, everybody. Well, on a warm day such as today, I reckon Leo had the pick of the place, having water sprinkled over the top of him to cool him down, and that's the excuse I'll give for the water that is soaking through on my shirt as well. We're looking into a parable of the talents. Indeed, parables are an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Some of the parables are immediately believable. We get it. We can understand it, certainly on the surface level. A farmer went out to sow some seed and scattered some seed in this place and that place. It's believable. But other parables, like this one we're looking at today, where a master gives talents to his servants, is bordering on unbelievable. But because of the extravagance of the act of the master, it pushes us to consider the more heavenly meaning over just the surface level earthly understanding that we might have. Thank you for those readings that we had read out today. In NIV 2011 version, that's NIV, New International Version's Bible, 2011, it's retranslated talents into bags of gold. So if you've got a 2011 version, the Bible's in our Pure 84, so they'll be slightly different. It talks about the master handing out bags of gold to his servants. In today's term, a talent of gold would be equivalent to around about 1.75 million Australian dollars. That's a fair whack of gold. One servant was entrusted with five talents, $8.75 million of the master's money. Another, $3.5 million of the master's money. And a third one, $1.75 million. It's an astronomical amount. But with all parables, there is a heavenly meaning within this earthly story. If we only took it at face value, then the story is about the financial investments of a very rich and very trusting man. But scratch a little deeper, and a more significant meaning is revealed. A talent, you see, is not currency. A talent is a measure of capacity. In the Roman world, one talent was the amount of liquid it took to fill a Roman amphora jar, that is, a water-carrying jar. There was around about 32.5 litres in today's measurements, or 32.5 kilograms in weight. Often, large amounts of gold were measured by the talent. So one talent of gold, 32.5 kilograms, was around about 20 years of a labourer's wage. At today's rate, that's $87,500 per annum, times 20 gets you $1.75 million. But if we understand that the talent is not necessarily a measure of currency, but a measure of capacity, then this parable really begins to open up. Apparently, it's from this story that we get the English word that we use today, talent, that is, giftedness or skill that a person may have. The master is Jesus, who graciously and generously gives to us an abundant capacity to invest in his kingdom. These are not our own skills or abilities, but given to us to invest for his kingdom's sake. And when Jesus returns, he will call us to account for how we've invested these capacities into his kingdom. Investing in the kingdom of God is to invest in God's people. How can we use the capacities that God has given each of us to see God's kingdom grow in size and in faith? The parable of the talents identifies that we've each received certain capacities or skills from God, and that there are kingdom investment opportunities. God has given us, or some of us, for example, the capacity to run a large or small business successfully. whether it's local, national, or international, their task is to find how they might invest that capacity for the kingdom of God. God has given to others the capacity to understand legal, complex legal matters. Their kingdom responsibility is to find the opportunity to invest that capacity for the kingdom of God. God has given some the capacity to create delicious meals, and others the capacity to eat delicious meals. Their kingdom work is to find the opportunity to invest that capacity for the kingdom of God. God has given others the capacity of an empty nest. Their kingdom work is to find an opportunity to invest that capacity for the kingdom of God. Some have been given the capacity to teach, some to understand finances and figures, some the capacity to raise great kids, some the capacity to sing wonderful music, some the capacity to run events, analyse risk, repair gutters, to sail, to build, to raise funds, to care for others, to do administration, to clean, to engineer solutions, to manage change, to create software, to make money. Your kingdom work, given by Jesus, is to find the opportunities to invest your God-given capacities for his kingdom. Now, as I think about these capacities, they fall vaguely into three different categories. Each of us has a capacity of time, a capacity of talent — that's not the gold type bags of money talent, but our skills or gifts given by God type talent — and a capacity of our treasure, that is our possessions or our money. Firstly, time, the capacity of time. Interestingly, God's given each of us exactly the same capacity: 24/7, 365 or 366 in a good year. Each of us has the responsibility of wise investment of this capacity. But some say, I just don't have time. But they have just as much time as everybody else. In fact, we all have time for what's important to us. How about talent? As we've seen, we've each received different talents or skills or ability. The greater diversity of talents reflects the different parts in the body of Christ. And interestingly, no talent has greater or lesser value or importance than any of the other talents in the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians 12, we read about the body of Christ. That is, the people of God gathered together, working and using their talents and their gifts for each other. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Now, if the foot should say, I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where'd the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, each one of them just as he wanted them to be. You are those parts. Time, talent, treasure. We each have different financial capacities, it's true. But consider the story of the widow's mite. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. It's not about the monetary amount, but about being generous with what Jesus has given us. Well, here are Jesus' top four kingdom investment tips from this parable, right? You're after investment advice. Here I am to give it to you. I trust from the Bible. Firstly, invest early. Verse 16, you've got the parable open there. He had received the five talents, went at once and traded with them, and he made five more talents. There was eagerness there. He was keen to get on with the job, to use the capacities that God had given him to serve the Master's kingdom. Don't wait to use your time, your talent, or your treasure for God's kingdom. Invest it with eagerness. Don't be afraid even to make some mistakes along the way. It's not about the amount of return, as indicated in this parable, whether you've returned back 5 talents worth or 2 talents worth, the response from the master is the same. But it's your willingness to get involved. Work out the skills that God has given you. You know what they are. If you don't know what they are, ask a friend. What do you think I'm good at? Or ask yourself, what do I really love? What am I passionate about? There's a capacity that God has given you. And then seek opportunities to invest it in his kingdom. Have a look around. Where could God use my capacities that he's given me here in this church, in this neighbourhood, in this community, in this nation, in this world, to serve him and his kingdom's sake? If you find that your capacity and your opportunities don't match up, then you will find it hard to be eager in your service. If you find that your capacity changes over the time and the opportunity that you've invested into is no longer appropriate, then consider reconsidering where you're investing your time. It's true that as we go through life, our capacities, our God-given abilities and skills can and do change. Be ready, therefore, to change the opportunities into which you're investing. Our capacities can also diminish in different times of life. Be willing to say, I'm not going to invest as much in that opportunity anymore. I'll allow somebody else the blessing of doing that. But likewise, too, our capacities can increase. Be aware of where God is supplying an increase for you such that you might look at the opportunities around and say, ah, that is where I can invest. Well, the second tip from Jesus about kingdom investments is expect to be held accountable. Remember that your capacities are not your own. They've been given to you by the master, entrusted to you by God. Verse 19. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. The idea was Jesus has gone away, as indeed he is away physically from us in body now and is residing in heaven. He did that after he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. He's gone away and he will be returning. We're looking forward to that time. Indeed, we know that the time is perhaps a long time. The master of the servants came back and settled accounts with them. The master will return, and for some there will be praise, and for others, rebuke. This parable sits within the teaching of Jesus talking about the end times, what's going to happen at the end stages. To some, he's saying, be vigilant, be ready for the master's return. To others, he's saying, be careful how you invest now, because at any moment the master may come back and he'll be calling to account. Be opportunistic, because the time is relatively short in which to engage others in the kingdom of God, because the time will come when there will be a reckoning for all people. To those who receive capacity and then identified and invested in kingdom opportunity, Jesus will return and say, well done, good and faithful servant. To those who receive capacity but did not invest in opportunity for the kingdom of God, Jesus will say, you wicked and slothful servant. There are opportunities to invest all around you, and you wasted the capacity that I generously gave you. A harsh rebuke with potentially eternal consequences. Did you see where that wicked servant was to be cast into the outer darkness? Well, the third tip for kingdom investment is look forward to retirement. Once the master returned, he says to the two who made a return on investment, you have been faithful over little. Well done, good and faithful servant. But it doesn't end there. Do you see what he says next? You've been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Wow, if $8.75 million is considered a small amount in God's economy, what does he have in store for us in the kingdom to come? Once we've shown ourselves responsible for investing our capacities in the kingdom of God, the reward is more kingdom capacity and more kingdom opportunity. Work in God's kingdom is a good thing. way back in Genesis chapter 2, before the fall, God says to Adam and Eve that you are to go into the Garden of Eden and you are to work in it. Work is a good design of God. It may be as your years progress that you retire from secular work, but this will hopefully increase your capacity for kingdom work. Well, Jesus' fourth top tip for investing in the kingdom of God is finding joy in investing. Verses 21 and 23, to the two servants who invest well, Jesus says, enter into the joy of your master. The reward is not financial gain, but eternal kingdom joy. Not just the fleeting happiness of dollars coming in, but a sense of personal achievement, but the sharing in the joy of Jesus as his kingdom comes. Kingdom joy creates an entirely different motivation. It comes from knowing that Jesus has mercifully saved us into his kingdom through his death and resurrection. That faith then produces a desire to work hard for Jesus. Not so that we are saved, but because we have been saved. We know that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, by Christ alone. However, in the book of James, there is a warning that faith without works is dead. We cannot create faith by doing good works, but true faith will produce good works. Identifying our capacity, seeking opportunity for the kingdom of God, and then investing in it. So what might we say in conclusion? The person who has been given the capacity to run successful business might find the opportunity to invest their skills in a Christian mission organisation or a church parish council to develop their business models. An empty nester could open their homes for fellowship meals and Bible study groups. The one with less energy but with more time might see the opportunity to pray daily for each member in the church. The person with financial skills could offer themselves to assist with church book work or to run a course on ethical investments for Christians. The teacher might find an opportunity to assist with Sunday school. The cook might identify a need to make meals for housebound people or provide morning tea at church. The investor might provide seed capital for a new ministry worker. The horticulturalist could invest themselves in the beautifying of the gardens of the church. The student could set aside time to visit housebound people in the parish. And so the list goes on. You get the idea. Work out your God-given capacities of your time, your talent, and your treasure given by him. Actively seek the opportunities for service for God's kingdom. Invest early. Look forward to being held accountable and receiving the joy of the Master. Look forward to retirement where there is more work in store for us. And look forward to the reward of further opportunity for working in the kingdom of God. Let me pray. Father, as we come to you again, Lord, we pray that you will speak to each of us, that we will be completely dependent upon you for the capacities that you give us, but completely responsible with how we invest those capacities we ask. Father, that we'll be willing to look carefully at where there's need in our church and beyond our church, and be so willing to either pray for the capacity to fill that need or recognise that we, or even somebody else next to us, might have that capacity, and so encourage ourselves or encourage others to fulfil that need. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.